Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
Send the text because I was in real danger.
That's Lenore Munoz, a senior and survivor of the shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. She spoke at the Boston March for Our Lives rally on Boston Common on Saturday.
I remember the only time I cried that day, when my sister told me she loved me. I remember hearing the knocks of the SWAT team. I can still hear them knocking. Apparently, in America, first responders need to come with guns and helicopters for us to go home from school.
50,000 people marched in Boston, according to police estimates. Protesters also gathered in Worcester and in Springfield to renew calls for gun legislation. Massachusetts Congressman Richard Neal and Senator Elizabeth Warren were among the few adults to speak at the Springfield March.
So you may not be old enough to vote, but you have power. You have your voice. You have your energy. You have your determination. You are democracy.
Now, Springfield is called the unofficial capital of Gun Valley. Since the 1850s, it's been home to one of the country's longest-standing firearm brands, Smith & Wesson. Student Sarah Reyes, one of the organizers in Springfield, spoke to the Springfield Republican about why marching there was important.
This is a national movement to have the March for Our Lives, and especially in Springfield, it's really powerful because right here, it is the home of the corporate headquarters of Smith & Wesson, who manufactured the weapon that was used in the Parkland shooting that killed 17 people. So it's an important place to have this kind of consciousness and to be using our voices to ask people to affect real change.
So Springfield is a place where the gun debate really takes on added nuance and complexity because some of the same students who marched could have parents that work at Smith & Wesson. Washington Post reporter Todd Frankel recently spoke to Springfield residents about their views of this moment in America's longstanding debate over guns. He's an enterprise reporter on the Washington Post financial desk, and he joins us today from D.C. Todd, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
So it's interesting. I mean, Springfield is sort of this place where the gun debate becomes deeply personal for an entirely different set of reasons than we usually hear on the national level, right? Because when you went there, you, of course, talked to people who, have lots of personal connections to Smith & Wesson. So I'm wondering, what did some of the folks tell you about how they see this moment?
Yeah, I think it was an awakening for a lot of the residents there because you know, they've known forever that Smith & Wesson has been making guns in their city since 1852. But what happened in Parkland sort of made this abstract concept of making guns into something quite real. And as this national movement sort of swept up, I think it caught the attention, especially of the teenagers who go to school there. And in fact, there's a high school, ironically, like maybe a quarter mile from the Smith & Wesson factory. And, you know, suddenly they'd walk by this factory every day, and now they were seeing it with fresh eyes because of what had happened in Florida.
Well, just to be clear, the Parkland shooter used an M&P-15 tactical rifle made by Smith & Wesson. And is that one important fact, one of the things that maybe has got folks that you talked to in Springfield starting to look at Smith & Wesson in a slightly different way? Because you quote, for example, Dean Rohan, who says, "Smith & Wesson has been here my whole life. I've never looked at them in a bad way."
Yeah, I think there's something special about the assault rifle the modern sporting rifle, as the industry likes to call it, that really did change the conversation. I think one thing that caught my attention was that this rifle that was used in Parkland and is made at the factory there by Smith & Wesson is even illegal for sale in Massachusetts because the state has some of the strictest laws in the country.
Right.
So then you're just sort of exporting this rifle for other states, for other people to use. And that really did catch a lot of people's attention. And so, you know, Springfield is not Boston. It's a fairly conservative area. And when you talk to people about gun control, which I talked to lots of people about that, you know, they sort of chafed at that. They didn't want to talk about anyone taking their handguns or their hunting rifles, their true hunting rifles. But when you start to talk to them about the assault-style rifles, like the one that was used in Parkland, you found more openness to maybe that's beyond the pale.
Mm. It's interesting. So they can focus when we talk specifically about that specific type of gun, people might have different opinions than they had in years past. But overall, you know, Smith & Wesson is this longstanding, you know, one in 150 plus year member of the Springfield community, right? I mean, you talk to people who they don't want to see the company shut down, right? Because they have friends and family members who work there. There's someone you spoke to, actually a 17-year-old, Trayvon Smith, who said, I kind of see Smith & Wesson like Mass Mutual. If they close down, that would be detrimental to Springfield.
Yeah, they were struggling with that. And that's what made the debate there sort of interesting, is that they want something to be done about gun violence. They realize, and they're blaming Smith & Wesson, but at the same time, they realize that, you know, those are good jobs. So Springfield has an unemployment rate that's about twice the state average. It needs these jobs, and they don't want to see the jobs go away. They want something to be done, and it was hard for them to articulate exactly what. Some people, you know, would like to see the factory shut down altogether, but most of the people I spoke to were more of the thinking of that something needs to be done. And, you know, some of the proposals that are being talked about, restricting access to guns and changing the buying age, but they were hesitant and very cognizant of the fact that Smith & Wesson remains very important to Springfield.
Yeah, I mean, it's the variety of people you talked to was terrific. Carolyn Goldstein, someone you referred to, she's a pediatrician there in Springfield, says she hates gun violence but doesn't actually blame Smith & Wesson for causing it. She says it doesn't come back to them. And she's married to a fellow named Mike, who for years ran a gun shop in nearby Springfield. But as you report, they actually both favor a federal ban on AR-15 style rifles.
Yeah, there was lots of these interesting contradictions of people I met up there. Yeah, I mean, she's a pediatrician, and you know, I tried to actually talk. There's a major medical center there in Springfield, Bay State, and I try to get them to talk about this. You know, gun violence comes in their door every single day. You know, that they're the only trauma center for the city, and they did not want to talk about it, but others did, and in that, these sort of interesting contradictions of, well, I see it this way, but, you know, I want it to be dealt this way.
Right.
So it was fascinating.
Now, you know, maybe some listeners in greater Boston right now are wondering, why are we speaking to someone from the Washington Post about Springfield, Massachusetts? But I do want folks to know that we also reached out to Springfield Mayor Dominic Sarno, to Smith & Wesson, to State Reps Bud Williams and others, including the Springfield Museum. And none of them could get back or got back to us by airtime to discuss this. And I understand you ran into some of the same challenges in speaking to official voices from Springfield.
Yeah, no, they didn't want to talk about this, which, again, was revealing to me, that they – I say, you know, I'm coming – I was up there for 4 or 5 days, you know, talking to people, and I gave them ample opportunity to meet with me, and they made it clear that this was not a story they wanted to participate in, because, you know, from their point of view, it's probably a lose-lose situation. You know, the mayor there is a Democrat. He's, you know, in a state like Massachusetts. He's come out in favor of some gun control measures before. Springfield actually has fairly tight gun control measures beyond what the state has. And, you know, what's he going to say? He's facing a very difficult challenge there with a major employer who makes guns.
Yeah.
And that's what made the story so interesting, is these sort of contradictions.
Well, we've got a link to your report at radioboston.org, and encourage as many people, listeners, folks, friends, please do go to the website and read it, because it's really terrific. Todd Frankel, enterprise reporter for the Washington Post Financial Desk, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
Well, last weekend's march wasn't the first time students have rallied in Springfield. On National Student Walkout Day earlier this month, students, educators, and faith leaders did gather outside the Smith & Wesson headquarters to demand a meeting with CEO James Debney. Now, one of the faith leaders who spoke at that rally was the Reverend Douglas Fisher. He's the bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Western Massachusetts, based in Springfield. He's also a member of the Bishops United Against Gun Violence. Reverend Fisher, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for the invitation.
So first of all, respond to what you heard Todd Frankel say about, you know, his view about the complexity that the gun debate takes on in Springfield. Would you say that that's pretty accurate?
Yes, his reporting was excellent. He spent a few days in Springfield, and we were really happy to have him reporting on all this. The thing I would stress is that in the witness that the young people had on March 14th was tremendous. It was really led by them to support them. But they're really not in opposition to Smith & Wesson. They're trying for engagement with Smith & Wesson. And I think that's a big difference. I think, this movement has tremendous momentum, and it's a different time. I know that Smith & Wesson back in the 90s attempted to come up with some safe gun laws, some gun control laws for the issues of our time, and they got a huge pushback from NPR, from the NRA.
From the NRA, yeah. Just to be clear, so just to explain to people what you're talking about, in the very late 90s, early 2000, Smith & Wesson did agree to a list of voluntary reforms. And gun owners and the NRA pushed back really hard, and they lost a lot of sales, and they had to suspend most of their manufacturing. And so at that point in time, they were a gun manufacturer that was sort of trying to take the lead in terms of what they could do to help curb gun violence, but it almost cost them their business. Oh, Reverend Fisher, are you still there? Looks like we lost him. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break here, see if we can get him back. And if we can, we'll pick up a conversation about Smith & Wesson in Springfield. So keep your fingers crossed, everyone. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Before the break, we were talking about the tenor of the gun debate in Springfield, Massachusetts, because for a century and a half, it's been the home of Smith & Wesson. And we were speaking with Reverend Douglas Fisher, who is a member of the Bishops United Against Gun Violence. And unfortunately, his cell phone wasn't cooperating and we lost him. But Reverend Fisher, do we have you back here?
I'm back. Thanks.
Okay, great. So I just want to, we were talking about whether or not you see Smith & Wesson as having been a good corporate citizen or good business citizen in Springfield for all the time that it's been there.
Absolutely. I mean, there's more than one truth here. I mean, it's true that they employ a lot of people, which is so good for Springfield. It's true that they've also contributed a lot to charity and to community development. And it's also true that they make a gun that's been involved in mass shootings. Mm. All that's true.
And so what is it that you and other advocates in Springfield would like to see from Smith & Wesson? Is it simply just the opening of a dialogue between students and the company, or perhaps even more?
Well, the students that I was involved with back on March 14th, they were real clear. There was they want the M&P 15 recalled. And they say that because that's a weapon that's been misused. And it's just as in any other industry, if you make a car and the car is defective, you recall it. And so they're asking Smith & Wesson to be a leader in this field and recall the M&P 15. Back in the 90s, I was the Episcopal chaplain at West Point, and so I've got a lot of military connections. And to a person, everyone in the military says that these guns should not be on the streets of our country. It should be used simply in military actions. So they're calling for that. They're also saying that, they've found out from a lot of research that gun violence costs the American taxpayer about $700 a year annually. Mm-hmm. And that's for counseling, for trauma counseling, for hospitals, for more police. And they're saying that they'd ask Smith & Wesson to start a community compensation fund to put resources back into communities impacted by gun violence. Mm. And if they did that, they'd be a real leader in the field. As we said before, my phone cut out, that this is a movement with momentum. The culture is changing. And so Smith & Wesson can catch up with the culture and actually be a leader in the industry.
Yeah. Well, that's the Reverend Douglas Fisher. He is Bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Western Massachusetts, based in Springfield, and a member of the Bishops United Against Gun Violence. Reverend Fisher, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you. And thank you for your work as a journalist. I really appreciate that.